Madhya Lila, chapter 10, text 50, and it goes to 54 where there's the purport. So I'm just going to read 50, 51, 52, 53, and then we'll go on to 54. So 51 or 50 is... Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued. This is Bhavananda Rai, the father of Sri Ramananda Rai, who is his first son. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Bhavananda Rai and with great respect spoke to his son, Ramananda Rai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored Bhavananda Rai by saying, "The glories of a person who has a jewel of a son like Ramananda Rai cannot be described within this mortal world. You are Maharaj Pandu himself and your wife is Kunti Devi herself. All your highly intellectual sons are representatives of the five Pandavas." I'm just going to say a few words about that, because approximately 5,000 years ago, when the Pandavas were around, Maharaj Pandu didn't have much time with his sons. We all know the story. They were born by Mother Kunti, by the Devas, and then he had only a few moments with them or years, and then he passed away. But in Kali Yuga, he comes back again as Bhavananda Rai, and he has his five sons, and he has Kunti Devi, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that you are Maharaj Pandu himself, and your wife is Kunti Devi herself, and all your highly intellectual sons are representatives of the five Pandavas. So in the previous age, they weren't together. I mean, Pandu wasn't together. But in this age, they were together. And they're meeting Krishna again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the verse that we're going through. After hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's praise, Bhavananda Rai submitted, "I am in the fourth class of the social order and I engage in mundane affairs. Although I am very fallen, you have still touched me. This is proof that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 18, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Brahmane Gavihastini, Shuni Chaiva Swapake Cha, Pandita Samadarshana. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, which means an outcast. Those who are highly advanced in spiritual understanding do not care about a person's material condition. A spiritually advanced person sees the spiritual identity of every living being, and consequently he makes no distinction between a learned Brahmana, a dog, a chandala, or anyone else. He is not influenced by the material body, but sees a person's spiritual identity. Consequently, Bhavananda Rai appreciated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement, which showed that the Lord did not consider the social position of Bhavananda Rai, who belonged to the Sudra caste, engaged in mundane activities. Rather, the Lord considered the spiritual position of Bhavananda Rai along with that of Ramananda Rai and his brothers. The servant of the Lord is also similarly inclined. He, and I also mean she, gives shelter to any person, any living entity, regardless of whether he belongs to a Brahmana family or a Chandala family. I'm going to repeat that because that's the essence of this verse. The servant of the Lord is also similarly inclined. He or she gives shelter to any person, any living entity, regardless of whether he or she belongs to a Brahmana family or a Chandala family. The spiritual master reclaims all people and encourages everyone in spiritual life. By taking shelter of such a devotee, one can make his life successful, as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a Sanskrit verse. Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulalkasha, Abirash, Shumba, Yavana, Kasha, Dayaha, Yenyacha, Papa, Yad, Apashara, Shraya, Sudayanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Kiratas, Hunas, Andras, Pulindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Shumbas, Yavanas, and members of the Kashi race, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Due to his being the supreme power, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Whoever takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his pure devotee is elevated to the spiritual order and purified from material contamination. This is also confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. So this is chapter 9, text 32, which is about devotional service. Mam hi partavya prashtritya ye pi suhu papa yonayaha shriyo vaisya tata sudraste pi yanti param gatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, sudras can attain the supreme destination. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuon Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shubhasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Ram 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 Hari Hari. After hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's praise, Bhavananda Rai submitted, I am in the fourth class of the social order and I engage in mundane affairs. Although I am very fallen, you have still touched me. This is proof that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I just want to do a disclaimer here. I don't take questions after classes in public. I do it in private, but not in public, because maybe my answers are controversial. So, and it's recorded. So, just understand, if you've got a question, there's Govinda Prabhu and a few other senior devotees here, Sachimata and others, who can answer your question, and Srinivas Prabhu. So, generally, I don't give talks in the manner. But anyway, I try my best. This is a very beautiful verse, and it's highlighting the essence of this. It doesn't matter who you are, male or female, black, white, brown, yellow, pink, whatever you want to call your color, able, disabled, heterosexual, homosexual, whatever, transgender. It doesn't matter who you are, even an animal. You can go to the supreme destination. You can go back to Godhead. It doesn't matter. That's what this verse is basically saying, what it means. Provided you take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative or the spiritual master. That is the essence. You've got to go through the path. You can't just do it independently. It doesn't work. You have to have guru. You have to have connection with a pure devotee or the representatives of the pure devotee. That's how it works. That's how Krishna designed the system, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whether it's Siksha Guru or Diksha Guru, it doesn't matter, but you have to have connection with someone who's more advanced than you or me. I should say we, us, who can take us, who can guide us, who can connect us. The problem with Maharaj Bharat. Remember Maharaj Bharat, he was a king, emperor, and then he gave it all up. And he was on Bhava Bhakti, just below Prema Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti. And he went into the forest to meditate. And then a deer came, and then she was pregnant, then she had a baby deer. And then he took care of the deer. And then what happened? He fell down. Basically, at the time of death, he's meditating on the deer, and then he went into a deer's body in the next life. The only reason that happened is because he didn't have association of the devotees. That's the reason. He was on Bhava Bhakti and he fell down. So the essence is that we have to have the caveat is you have to have the association of the devotees. Whether you're in the temple or you're outside, it doesn't matter. You can be anywhere. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. But you must have the association of the devotees. Don't think for a second that on my own, independently, I can go back to Godhead. It doesn't work like that. We depend on Kripa Siddhi, Guru Kripa. we depend on the mercy of the devotees. And I'm speaking for over 30 years of practicing, and I can tell you that my worst times is when I don't associate with the devotees. And my best times is when I'm with the devotees. So I'm telling you from experience that it is the essence of staying alive in Krishna consciousness is to be connected to the devotees. Yeah. And the more advanced they are, the better it is for us. So we should always be seeking to associate with advanced devotees. Be greedy for it. Lolium, be greedy. You know, take their remnants. Serve them. Ask questions. Clarify doubts. Like I have an issue with one of this verse, you know, like the one about, O son of Pritha, those who take shelter of me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, Sudras, can attain the supreme destination. I was thinking, well, that was a tough verse, especially in 2024. What does that mean? So then I went on the web and I looked at Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, who's a, you know, very advanced scholar. And he gives a different perspective to the meaning of that verse through his research, looking at the previous acharyas. And so I'm going to explain this verse in case people get freaked out. 5,000 years ago, the world was a different place. Yeah. And to understand what we're understanding right now, you had to be in a Brahminical society or a high-level Kshatriya society, kingly society. This knowledge wasn't freely given like it is now today. It was hidden. And that was the system. So people didn't get complete access. Some did, but most didn't. They didn't have the access. So what Krishna is saying in this verse, which is chapter 9, text 32 of the Bhagavad Gita, he's saying that if you think just because you're a woman, or Vaishya, or Sudra, or even lower birth, which is translated as someone who's born outside the Vanarsam system. So there's four categories in this verse. Lower birth, that's one category. Woman, Sudra, or merchant, these are the four categories. If you think that you can't go back to Godhead, think again. I'm saying you can. So if a woman thinks I can't go back to God because I don't have access 5,000 years ago to the scriptures or philosophical understanding or I haven't been trained in that way, Krishna's saying, don't worry about it. You're going back to God and you can go. If you're a Sudra worker who hasn't been trained, don't worry about it. You can go back. If you're a merchant who's just thinking about money all the time, don't worry. You got a chance. And if you're from a lower birth, that means you're outside the Vanarashram, and some acharyas say, even if you're an animal like Gajendra who's an elephant, don't worry about it. You can go back to Godhead. That's what this verse is saying. That everyone has an opportunity. That's what Krishna is saying. There's something called the Equality Act, which has 9 protected characteristics. So if you're working in an environment and someone is discriminating you because of your gender, because of your sexual preference, or your race or nationality, you know, you could be in trouble if somebody is discriminating or indirectly discriminating. But it doesn't mean that they're all equal. It just means they're branded in a category called protected characteristics. Yeah? So Krishna is not saying that the lower birth person is equal to the woman or to the Sudra or the merchant. They're all different people. But the thing that's combining them is that they all have the opportunity to go back to God. That's what it means. Yeah, that's what it means. That's one way of looking at it. Then the next verse in 33, Krishna says, he talks about even the brahmanas and the kshatriyas, what to speak about the previous people, but the others have the opportunity too. So another way of looking at it is that men today are not like the men in previous ages, the exalted brahmanas and the exalted raja rishis. So compared to them who have perfect memories, perfect behavior, perfect conduct, we are all lower births. That's one other way of looking at it. And another way of looking at it, in Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, everyone is born in the mode of ignorance. So we're all in that category in Kali Yuga. Maybe one or two are exceptions to that rule, like Srila Prabhupada, who's a Nitya Siddha. But vast majority are all in that same category. So basically Krishna is saying we all have the opportunity. Don't worry about it. So I've made a few notes about this beautiful verse. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he hugs Bhavananda Rai, who's Pandu. And Bhavananda Rai is shocked. You know, I'm a Shudra. I mean, you know, I'm in the fourth class division. I don't know if some people are new, I'm going to explain it. In the Vedic custom, there are divisions of society. Right now it's not so much, but in those days there were divisions. So you had the Brahmana caste, class, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And in Krishna's eyes, he doesn't see a distinction. He sees them as all beautiful, loving spirit souls. And also those who are highly advanced spiritually, they don't see the distinction. They see, oh, it doesn't matter what body you are, doesn't matter what class system you are, or doesn't matter what your occupation, let's say occupation, it doesn't matter to me. You are connected to God, and I'm connected to God, and we're both, you know, we have a relationship. And that's the way it should be. Yeah. But obviously in society, we have distinctions based upon, you know, intellect, based upon how much wealth you have, based upon occupational duties, which are born, by the way. We're born with it. You can't, you can't hide it. You're born with a certain type of nature. Yeah. Even if you get the Brahmin thread from the guru, you still have that nature that you're born with. What I mean is that you're good at certain things. Some people are good at administration or fighting or working in the military or leading, controlling, managing. Some people are good at training people, teaching people, mentoring, guiding. Some people are good at just making money. And they're not even trained. A lot of the wealthiest people in the world, they're not even trained. They didn't go to do MBA at Harvard or anything like that. They just knew how to make money. Like Bill Gates, he went to Harvard when he dropped out, but the thing is, he just knew. Elon Musk, for example. They just know how to get money out of people and how to build products and how to do that. And then there's another class of people who don't know how to do that and they work for others. They like their security. They like they're getting their pension and they get their wages at the end of the month. And that's another class of people. So that's how things were divided. And you're born with it. You can't change it. It's something that it's inherent. Your occupational duty, meaning that is what you're good at. The skills that you have got from the past life. What you can change is your consciousness. That you can become more and more elevated in your understanding of Krishna consciousness and your behavior and how you treat others and how your realizations. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Kiba vipra kiba nyasi, shudra keno noi, ye Krishna tattva veta she guru hoy. What does that mean? He means, kiba vipra, even if you're a learned brahmana, kiba vipra kiba nyasi, even if you're a sannyasi, a renunciate, shudra keno noi, and even if you're a shudra, if you know the science of Krishna consciousness, ye Krishna tattva veta she guru hoy, you can become a guru. It's open to everyone. Anyone, if you know the science, you can become a spiritual master. Whether it's Shiksha or Diksha, it doesn't matter. But if you know the science, it's open. That's how beautiful this movement is. It's not closed and it's not saying a certain type of person who's born in a certain type of family can become pure. No, everyone is entitled to it. Provided you follow, just like if you're working for the army or the police or the ambulance or doctors. Anyone can do it, but you have to follow the rules and regulations that they give to you, and then you can go out and perform your duties. So it's about that, qualification. I was just admiring the kirtan today. It was amazing. It was fired up. It reminded me of the 90s. You know? We all do the fire up kirtan, you know? Because normally people just do the sit-down version. But when I joined, it was you go out on the streets version, you know? No comfortable sitting in the temple room version. You go out and do your harinam. So I want to talk about compassion, because that's the difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. Right? Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, you want to come to me, you better surrender. You know, you have to surrender. Then we can talk. Fully surrender. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Masuchaha. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is different. He doesn't ask fully surrender. He just says, just chant Hare Krishna. Then we'll talk about it. First get connected to the holy name. Not, you don't have to fully surrender for me to reciprocate with you. You just chant Hare Krishna. And that's what Prabhupada and all the gurus that you see above Prabhupada, that's the mood. That's the mood. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mood is Srimati Radharani. And her mood is motherly, compassionate. Krishna's mood, I tell you, is detached. He don't care. You don't want to follow it, you do whatever you want to do. It's up to you. It's your decision, it's not mine. I don't care. I'm detached. And that's the meaning why he's renounced. That's one of his qualities. Because I look at the world today and everyone is suffering and I can't take it. And I'm thinking, how can Krishna tolerate that? But that's because he's just detached. You dig your grave, you have to live in it. You know, that type of thing. You're detached. If you want to come to me, there's an opportunity, but it's up to you. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's got the mood of Srimati Radharani, which is mood of the jivas, us, because we come from that mood, is that we know you're suffering, we're suffering, but we're trying to give you an alternative. That's why we go out on Harinam. That's why we give the holy name. That's why Prabhupada wrote those books. That's why we give out prasadam. That's why we're constantly giving, giving, giving to society, because we care. We have that mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he has the mood of Srimati Radharani, that is the mood that we have instilled in ourselves. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulana, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshmanan, Sri Sri Gornitai. So the mood is Namo Maha Vadanyaya, Rupa Goswami says, that Krishna Prema Pradayate. So, out of all the incarnations of expansions of Krishna, out of all of them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnificent, munificent, most compassionate. Why? Because he's given Krishna Prema. He's given Krishna Prema. Right? He's given it. It's free. You don't have to pay for the mantra. It's free. You can just chant Hare Krishna anytime, any day, any place, anywhere. It's free. And he's freely given. That's the beauty. That's why he's the most magnificent, munificent, magnanimous of all the incarnations. And he's Krishna himself. So that's why we do it. That's why we go out on the streets when it's cold. And people give out books, or they try and stop people and say, look, would you like to understand more about spirituality? Because I remember going out with you, door to door. He's brilliant, this devotee. He knocking on people's doors and just confidently giving them access to Krishna. That's what we're doing. And there's so many of you who do that, will come here. And we're a movement that is about giving, not taking. If you're here to take, then you're in the wrong movement. Go somewhere else. It's about giving. That's what Prabhupada did most of all of his life, actually. He was about giving. Giving what? Krishna. That's what we do. So, I want to speak a bit about Harinam, because a lot of people love to sit in the temple room and chant Hare Krishna to the deities, and they feel comfortable and cozy, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's Yuga Dharma, you know, Harinam Sankirtan. But Indra Prabhu wanted everyone to go out on the streets. And in during Srila Prabhupada's time, because a devotee called Tribhuvanath Prabhu told all of us, that they would go out on Oxford Street 8 hours a day doing Harinam Sankirtan, up and down Oxford Street. So why? Why would you do that? Why would you go out on the streets when it's comfortable to be in a temple room? Why? Because you get more benefit going out than being in. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 1 year in Srivas Angan, in Srivas Thakur's home, was doing Harinam Sankirtan. Closed doors, no one was allowed in. They could hear that there was a party going on, but they didn't know what was happening. But for 1 year, and everyone was complaining, why can't we come in? Why can't we enjoy the Harinam? But he was enjoying the Harinam with the devotees. And then after 1 year, he decided, I'm going to take this out on the streets. So people in Kali Yuga don't come to the temple. They don't come. Only a few will come out of millions of people that live in this country. How many come to this temple, right? Or any of the temples? Only a few. That's why the plan by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that we take the temple out on the streets. That's why the book distributors go out on the street. That's why the Harinam Sankirtan goes out on the streets. Because anyone who hears the holy name gets benefited, even if they don't want to hear it. It's subtle. Once my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami, he has a disciple, and the mum was terminally ill with cancer, and so she was in the hospital deathbed, and she was unconscious, and my Guru Maharaj called her. So, you know, the son's holding the phone to her ear, and he's calling her, and he's chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then the disciple says, but Guru Maharaj, she's unconscious, she's in coma. And he goes, doesn't matter, the holy name can penetrate. So that's how powerful, even if you can't hear it, it has the power to penetrate, enter the consciousness. So that's why if you get a chance, go out on Harinam, if you get a chance. And even if you're shy, go with a senior devotee like Govinda Prabhu. You know? He goes out every Saturday night. And he'll give you the confidence. I got the confidence by going out with Tribhuvanath Prabhu. That's how I got the confidence to go out. He was a Harinam Acharya, you know, like a master. Some of you don't know who I'm talking about. But if you came in the 90s or 80s or 70s, you definitely know who I'm talking about. And he gave me that confidence to go out. Because when you're with somebody who's very confident and has complete and utter dependence on the holy name and faith, that is like a bubble when you go out on Harinam with that person. It protects you as a shield and it makes you feel, you know, oh yeah, I am doing the right thing. I'm going out. Incidentally, the first time I joined a retreat here, and it was like a youth retreat. And I was upstairs in the room with a bunch of youngsters, and the devotees go, yeah, we're going to go out on Harinam. I go, what's Harinam? Oh, yeah, we're going on the streets on Oxford Street. And I go, forget that. I'm not going out. I'm 18, you know. I'm not going out. I was freaking out. I go, no, I'm not doing that. I came for this retreat, but I'm not going to embarrass myself and go out on the street. I didn't have faith, you know. And it was with Shivram Maharaj. And I don't know who he is. And I kept on saying, I just know he was a Swami and we had to bow down to him. And I didn't know who he is. And they were going, no, you have to go out. We're going out. And I was praying to Krishna, I don't want to go out. I don't want to go out. I was practically going to cry or just run away or something. And thankfully, I didn't go out. Thankfully, they cancelled the Harinam. Maharaj wasn't going to go out at that moment. Phew, my God, thank God, because it would have freaked me out. But then there was a march, you know, during that time in the 90s, there was a like Save the Manna campaign. So everyone was going out on marches. So there was 5,000 of us in Ealing Road, Wembley. So then my first experience of Harinam was with 5,000 people. So then I thought, this is all right. You know, everyone's chanting Hare Krishna and it's 5,000 of us. So then I got, you know, Krishna broke it in for me. So sometimes if something is really difficult, Krishna can arrange that he makes it a bit more easier to handle rather than going in the deep end. He knows what you can handle. So yeah, if you get a chance, go out, because I tell you what, You know, if you get if you have emotional baggage in your heart, you go. What's that word they call? Anattas. You know, emotional baggage that is plaguing you. You're mentally disturbed at times, or depressed, or anything like that. Believe me, when you go out on the Harinam, it cleans away. It cleans away. It just, I don't know if you've seen in Hampstead Park, they have a pond. And in the early morning, people go in and swim in that pond. It's famous. Even in winter time. They go in and they jump into the water and they swim for 30 minutes to an hour. It's a bathing pool. Hampstead, I'm sure it's Hampstead Park. And I saw the documentary and I was thinking, wow, why do they do it? And they feel great when they plunge in, even in during December, cold January. They feel absolutely great the whole day. And some go in because they've got chronic pain, back pain or leg pain, chronic pain. And as soon as they go into the water, that pain is alleviated for that hour. They don't feel the pain anymore. So Harinam's like that. When you go out on Harinam, everything that haunts you, disturbs you, or gives you pain goes away for that moment. And it inspires you to chant your japa. So the next day when you're chanting your japa, you feel more inspired. When I used to do kirtan yoga programs in Islington, and you know, people would come in from all walks of society, and when we would chant for an hour and a half, they would come back to me and say, my whole week, not forget about day, the whole week, they felt peaceful and calm and spiritual. Just by chanting. So it's such a powerful, if you chant loudly, it subdues the mind. Sometimes Prabhupada, he may be in anxiety or he's got a lot of worries of the society. He will chant loudly his japa just to quell the mind. So it does, it has a profound effect. So mercy can be given by going out on Harinam. We get the benefit, and the people or the animals or the plants and trees that are here, they get the benefit. Another form of compassion and mercy is a book distribution or giving knowledge. This is called book distribution, giving a class. Your hearing is part of book distribution. The whole point of book distribution, Prabhupada said, is to get people to chant Hare Krishna. That's why we do it, to convince people to chant Hare Krishna. Because the Yuga Dharma is to chant Hare Krishna. That is it. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, you can go back to Godhead. So the books help us to have the faith that why we're doing this process, convince people. And plus, you can understand all the pastimes. So that's another thing, compassion. Giving out books, helping people. I don't really give out books like stopping people on the street. I find that very difficult, I'm being honest. The way I give out books is I get to know someone, and then I say, here, look, I think this would be handy for you, this will help you. And that's the way I like to give out books. But it's whatever method works for you. Once I spoke to my spiritual master about it, because you know, the whole essence of our movement is book distribution. Printing, publishing, distributing, teaching, education. We're in an educational movement, right? So I spoke to him and I said, look, I find it difficult. I can't go out on books. I don't like stopping someone on the street. And I don't like being rejected, because that's even harder. And he said, get your hand out. And then I said, got my hand out. He said, clench it hard. So I clenched it hard. And then he said, do it harder. And I did. And he said, do it as hard as you can. And I did. And then he said, how long can you hold it for? And I said, not long, because, you know, it hurts. And he said, now do this. How long can you do this for? I said, yes, normal. I can do this for a long time. He said, that's what devotional service is. It has to be natural. It shouldn't be artificial. It shouldn't be difficult. It should be, you should do what's natural. So if it's difficult for you and you find it difficult, then do what is natural. Because we're at the beginning stage. I'm at the beginning stage. When you advance, you'll do things that, you know, it's difficult, but you do it out of love. But when I'm a beginner, you do what's natural. Build yourself up. So that was a great lesson for me. So I realized, oh yeah, we need to do book distribution, but what way can I do book distribution that is natural for me? And that is get to know someone, and if you feel that they would be interested or they would benefit, give them a book, and I give it free. I don't ask for the money. I give it free. So that's another form of compassion that is in Kali Yuga. And then that final form, there's also more. Final major form is prasadam distribution. You know, that is so... I came because of prasadam, I'm being honest. If there was no prasadam, I don't think I would hang around here, you know. My nickname is Mahaprasad. This is a fact. Because when I joined, I was like scoffing up, stealing. I used to steal Mahaprasad. Because there's a way of stealing Mahaprasad when Janmashtami comes or Gurpranim. Brahmacharis know what I'm talking about. Take the tray. Oh yeah, I'm going to take it out. But you take it upstairs and then you really enjoy and relish. But the problem is I'm type 2 diabetic, so I can't enjoy it anymore. Can't enjoy the sugary prasadam. But prasadam is so powerful that it can transform the consciousness of any person, and then they become receptacle to the philosophy or to the holy name. So if you find that people are not receptacle or they're inimical, just give prasadam. So when Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, he passed away in 2010 probably, or not, 2007, Prabhupada disciple, very famous for Bhaktivedanta Institute, where they would be giving Krishna consciousness to the top scientists of the world. So he would do seminars in Calcutta, not Kolkata, Calcutta. And before they would invite all the top prestigious scientists of the world, they'll bring them in into the auditorium. But before he would start to give the lectures and talks and seminars, he would feed them a feast, a prasadam feast. And it was like the best cooks you can get in Calcutta, and they would give them so much sweets and sandeshis. And I know you've got prasadam coming up. I've got to stop the lecture soon. And they would feed them. And then they would sit back and listen to the talks. And the reason is that the prasadam was given first so that they could be more receptacle and they'll be happy and pleasing and they will open up. And that's a tactic that we use to give out Krishna. We'll give him in the form of prasadam. I could go on. There's so much to speak about. Do we finish 8:30? Yeah? Yes? What time? Oh my God. All right. I'll just a few more minutes. It's prasadam at 8:30, isn't it? No. Okay, all right, no problem. Another form of mercy is the sadhu. Believe it or not, each and every one of you here is a sadhu. There may be a different degree of sadhu, but if you're here chanting the holy name and you wish to become a Krishna conscious person, you are a representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a representative of Srila Prabhupada. So when Prabhupada would go out on morning walks in London, he would say good morning to people. You know, good morning. And they would say good morning back. So devotees were thinking, why are you not saying Hare Krishna? Someone asked, you know. He goes, I say good morning because they will say good morning back, and they're saying good morning back to a sadhu. They're wishing the sadhu a good morning. So they get Agyata Sukriti, that means they get unknowing pious devotional service. They build up their credits. So when you go out and meet people, you can, in a subtle way, help people build up their spiritual bank account. So sometimes I say, yeah, I'm going to India. And they go, where are you going? I go, I'm Vrindavan. So just by saying the holy Dham Vrindavan or explaining about Vrindavan, they get spiritual credit by hearing about it. Or I always tell people I'm a Hare Krishna. I always say it. If they ask me about religion or my faith. Or the other day I had my bead bag with me and I was chanting. And it was in a seminar where I work. And some people were looking at me and they're going, what's that? Took out the beads, I explained I'm a Hare Krishna and I chant, you know. So there's ways of reaching out to people in an indirect way rather than, oi, why don't you surrender to Krishna? You know? There's a way to reach out. And therefore, we have to figure out those ways. This is Sachimata. She goes out, book distribution. She's famous for it. Knocks on people's doors, knock, knock, and tries to give out Prabhupada's books. And she's done it for 20-odd years, isn't it? So we have to figure it out. You figure out what's best for you, what's easy for you, that you can give Krishna to others. So Prabhupada in 1966, he's in New York, Manhattan, in 22nd Avenue. He's given a class. He's on the tape. You can hear it. And this drunk man walks in. Hi, Swami. Walks in. Walks through the devotees. Opens up the door, because on the left is the toilet. Opens up the door. Puts toilet paper in there, and then he walks out and he leaves. And then Prabhupada is explaining, this is devotional service. The drunk is not interested. He doesn't want to know about Krishna consciousness. Doesn't care. But he loves Prabhupada. He loves the Swami. And he just wanted to give him toilet paper because he realized there was no toilet paper in the toilet. So that's Agyata Sukriti. Unknowing. They don't know. Nobody knows. They don't know by taking prasadam or hearing the holy name. Or even Prabhupada said, even if they touch the book, when you're doing book distribution, and they don't want to buy the book, but you let them touch it. Even if they touch the book, they started their bhakti path. Just by touching or by seeing Krishna. It's so amazing how easy it is to give Krishna to others. Yeah, how easy it is.
She just can't control her mercy. And so, if she says, it's her whole nature. She can't control herself.
Yeah.
Just got to give her mercy. Just walk around. But you don't even have to tell people that. Just by seeing her.
Yeah, I brought a person to the manor and I said, let's walk around Tulsi Maharani, and by doing that, all your negative karmic reactions get depleted. And that's the mercy of Tulsi Maharani. So mercy is there in this age of Kali, especially mercy is there. Like one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he hugged a tree and that tree went back to Godhead. So for what to speak of human beings, any living entity can get the mercy. There's a great saintly devotee called Shivananda Sen, and he's traveling from Bengal to Jagannath Puri with Nityananda Prabhu and all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who live in Bengal. And as they're going, a stray dog starts following the party. And in India, you see stray dogs all the time, right? But this stray dog was just sitting, listening to the classes when they stopped, taking the prasadam, the remnants, and just following, constantly following. So then he had compassion for that dog, and he said, okay, now that dog is part of our party now. I'm going to take care of the dog just like I take care of all the other people on the party. So they go in, and then he has to pay toll taxes to go over to different parts of the lands as you're going, you know, like motorway taxes like that. So he even paid for the dog. The boat, you know, the one who owns the boat said, no, you have to pay for that dog. And so he paid the tax for the dog, and the dog went. And one day, Shivananda Sen had to go to the next village, so he delegated responsibilities to his men to take care of the traveling party. And he also said, take care of the dog, feed the dog. So they forgot to do that. They forgot to feed the dog. The dog disappeared. Shivananda Sena comes back and he goes, where's the dog? He goes, I don't know. Did you feed the dog? No. So where's the dog? And he was so upset because he took responsibility for that dog. That dog was now part of his family. And he fasted that night. He couldn't believe it. Oh no, I'm so upset that someone that was dependent upon me has not been taken care of and now is gone. I feel very upset. So throughout the whole journey, he's upset. He's thinking about that dog. He goes to Jagannath Puri and then he sees Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eating a coconut. Yeah, coconut pulp. And he's chewing on it and then he throws it towards somebody. And he's throwing it towards the dog. And it's the same dog that was on that party traveling to Jagannath Puri. So Sivananda Sena is saying, how did that dog get to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He was with me, he left me, and now he's sitting next to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, eating coconut pulp, the remnants of the Lord. So he couldn't believe it. Next day the dog dies. And then they found out the dog went back to Godhead. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, when he came to this country in 1969, he was living at John Lennon's estate, Tittenhurst Park. It's a massive estate. John Lennon said, yeah, I'll look after him, at least for a few months. So when it was time to leave, Prabhupada went to the forest, and there was a group of trees, and he was... According to the devotees, they said that it felt like he was communicating with these trees. And then they asked Prabhupada what was happening. He said, I was just saying goodbye to some friends. Next, that night, there was a storm, those trees died. Collapsed. Psh. Next morning, the trees were collapsed. Here, Bhaktivedanta Manor, because Prabhupada's disciples told me this, Prabhupada is walking around and this cat starts following Prabhupada and the devotees are like, you know what devotees were like? They're like, ah, cat. So I'm shooing the cat away. But the cat kept on going through the devotees and eventually got to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada stopped and the cat just, you know, putting his head on the feet of Prabhupada and just for a few moments and putting his head on Prabhupada's feet. Disappeared. Next day, cat's dead. They asked the devotee, they asked Prabhupada, what happened? This cat did this and then he died. This cat, Prabhupada said, this cat was a yogi who wanted to touch my feet. So he came in that form and he came and touched my feet and left. So it's very mystical. Prabhupada is a very mystical personality. Not an ordinary sadhu turned up in Kali Yuga. What he achieved, what he distributed, he is the Senapati Bhakta. That's the actual, literal meaning of Prabhupada's position. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will send my Senapati Bhakta. That means chief of my armies, my preaching army. And he will go and he will reclaim those who have left the Vedic path. So, we are very fortunate that we are in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. We're very fortunate. We're guided by His Divine Grace, who's the founder, Acharya. No matter who your guru is, because everyone has different gurus, Shiksha or Diksha, as long as you know that the main guru is Srila Prabhupada, you're okay. That's the point. That's what I was taught by my Guru Maharaj and many Prabhupada disciples. As long as you know, and we know, who is the boss, we're okay. If we start to transgress and think that he's not important anymore, that my guru is more important, you're going down. So that's what I would tell the next generation. I'm 48 this month, but I'll tell the next generation, as long as you put Prabhupada at the center of your life, you're okay. The moment you don't, or you don't think these books are important, or the process that he's taught is important, brother or sister, you're going down. You're deviating. And I'll leave it as that. Hare Krishna, all glories to Prabhupada, all glories. Sri Sri Radha Gokulanda, Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshmananwa, Sri Sri Gaurinitaya ki jai, Sri Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.